My guest at this time is Texas Republican State Senator Brian Birdwell. He represents the 22nd Senate District in the Lone Star State, and it, of course, is the state Senate that is ground zero for this major fight over when abortions ought to be restricted. The bill before the legislature right now would ban most abortions after 20 weeks and would also raise the standards of sanitary conditions and other medical propriety at abortion clinics. Of course, last week, the special session of the Texas State Senate tried to pass this legislation. The senators got the job done, but it wasn't signed into law by the midnight deadline, largely due to a very raucous crowd and a filibuster led by Democratic State Senator Wendy Davis. And, Senator, thanks very much for being with us.
Thank you. I appreciate the invitation, Greg.
Before we talk about what's going to happen in this new special session, take us inside what it was like to be on that floor as the filibuster wound down and as the crowd up in the gallery tried to disrupt and, I guess, succeeded in disrupting the proceedings.
It was disruptive in this sense that, kind of like a visiting team coming into Arrowhead Stadium in Kansas City, the noise can be so loud that you got to use hand and arm signals. But because this was a legislative body, and whether it was the governor or the presiding officer, Lieutenant Governor Dewhurst, or the presiding officer after he had to relinquish to Senator Duncan, because of the nature of the noise that was occurring and its decibel level, the ability of the Senate to conclude its business, record the votes, and the like was prevented. So you had a noise level and conduct akin to the call it Occupy Wall Street sitting in the gallery that prevented us from concluding the legislative business that we've been gathered to do. And therefore, you had a disruption of the legislative process. So that was that. While there's a number of things that concern me, I believe that's exactly what Governor Perry was very concerned with why he called the second special immediately after the events that night, because you cannot let that type of disruption become the rule of the day, because all you'll simply do is encourage it in other circumstances.
So you were not at all surprised that the governor ordered the next special session?
No, not at all. I was certainly very pleased he did, and even more pleased that he did so the very next day. That this was not going to, this type of mob rule was not going to be tolerated, and we're going to come back and take another swing at it.
This type of legislation, the ban on most abortions following 20 weeks, has been passed in a number of states around the country. It even passed the U.S. House of Representatives. Why do you think it touched such a nerve on the pro-choice side in Texas?
There's a number of things that would be assumed in your question. One, the overwhelming number of protesters are coming from Texas. While I'm sure there's many there, there's many from out of state. Texas, of course, is a very pro-life state. But the bill does four things. Let me give you the background on what this bill does. Then we can get into the essence of the question that you've asked. One, it ensures that a physician that is an abortion provider has hospital administration or admitting privileges with a hospital that has an OBGYN department on the day of the abortion, so that should there be a complication that arises, you not only have the ability to ensure that the mother making that decision has the necessary care to a hospital that has a greater degree of capability with a potential error or potential complication. And two, depending upon when that abortion is occurring, because there are circumstances where that abortion can occur after the 20 weeks, the exceptions that we grant that already exist, that the child that is being aborted could potentially become the patient, so that you have those capacities. Two, it raises the standard for an abortion clinic to that of an ambulatory surgical facility. As an example, today there's a higher standard for the medical care provider to remove tonsils at an ambulatory surgical center than there is to perform an abortion. This would raise it to that standard for outpatient day surgery center. Three, it requires that if, RU486 is administered by a physician, and that there is a follow-up period that the physician must follow following the FDA guideline, because RU486 can cause one of the after or side effects is a severe amount of bleeding. And so you want to ensure that the patient's not just simply taking the medication, because there's two pills that have to be taken. You're not simply taking the medication and the doctor's prescribed it, and now the doctor is no longer involved in that case. The doctor needs to be involved in that case per the FDA's guideline. And then four, the bill prohibits the, again, with certain exceptions, an abortion. Instead of at 6 months or later in the third trimester, it moves it from 6 months to 5 months, because that is the delineation of the child feeling pain in the womb. So that's what the bill does. Now, why people would be adamant about opposing it, I would just simply assume that as modern technology, whether it's sonogram or otherwise, allow us to, whether it's sustain life out of the womb, you know, when the Kennedys had their miscarriage back in the late 50s, early 60s, when Jackie and President Kennedy had that circumstance, the child was, I think it was 30 weeks, and the technology wasn't there to the child to survive. Nowadays, technology, that child can survive. I think it's just any restriction, any at all, is viewed as territory that side of the aisle doesn't want to cede, even though, one, we know that life begins at conception, and that all these standards that we've put in place were for the life of the mother, the health of the mother, and should there be a complication, the health of the child if born alive. And that was the biggest reason for going through this process.
You just explained, Senator, why you believe this is legislation that is very beneficial to women. Obviously, the argument from the other side is that you would be restricting their rights. So what do you make of that debate, not only with respect to this bill, but in general in the abortion debate?
The right is not restricted. The providers that are providing this service under the law today, by virtue, if this law passes, and I believe it will, governor signs it, and it becomes law effective September of this year, then at that point, the clinics that provide those services will have a period of time to achieve that standard that we have set in this legislation. Now, should those providers choose not to meet that standard, then they would be making the decision to get out of that business or operate unlawfully. But those clinics that decide to remain in business by meeting the ambulatory care center standard that we've set for outpatient surgery that abortion will be a part of, then if every one of the clinics out there meets that standard, then every one of them are still operating within the law as we know it, because we made sure that we crafted this legislation. The bill sponsor, Senator Hager in the Senate, crafted the legislation in a way to make sure that we were not violating the principles set out in Roe v. Wade that says a woman has this choice before her. That choice is still there. We're simply putting it in a way that respects the health of the mother and the health of the child if, again, a complication arises.
We've heard the reports today that Senator Davis does not intend to filibuster in this new session. So does that mean that this is essentially guaranteed to happen, guaranteed to pass next week?
Well, there are no guarantees. The bills will go through their hearing process. Of course, this bill is one of them. Both the state Senate and the state House have to take their actions with the bill. Given that the special session lasts a month, and with how the last special session broke out and various different decision points and what decisions were made at those points brought us to the backstop of a 30-day clock of the special that would enable a filibuster to be successful, this special session, with having the full 30 days to make the consideration of this bill, I would assume and agree that a filibuster is a very much a long shot. But I would always be very guarded against, you know, guaranteeing something will happen. I think the preponderances and the probabilities that this will pass are very strong. However, there may be other options that those on the other side of the aisle are considering that would cause us to have to look at a third special session. What those might be, I wouldn't place in conjecture, but Joe Namath is probably the only guy that can give a guarantee, and that was Super Bowl III, you know, how many years ago. So,
but it's more likely than the way it was scheduled at the very end of the last special session. Texas certainly the epicenter of this debate right now, as long as this debate plays out. Senator, thank you very much for your time today.
Thank you very much, Greg. I greatly appreciate it.
Republican Texas State Senator Brian Birdwell represents the 22nd Senate District in the state of Texas. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WND.com.